Hi,
This is Pastor Kevin, and welcome to the Berwyn United Methodist Church podcast, where each week we take the parts of the service, like the opening prayer, the reading of scripture, the sermon, and the pastoral prayer, and we knit it all together into a condensed form so that you can dive in even if you weren't able to attend on Sunday morning. This week is a little different because we're also adding a interview, a deep dive into the points made in this sermon, how we can live them out, some of the questions that come with that. And so I hope you'll stick around to the end to listen to that. This week, we look at the story of Passover, the story in Exodus chapter 12 and parts of Exodus chapter 13, where God instructs the people how to prepare for the Passover event, where the firstborn of all of the people, all of the animals are put to death. We deal with this difficult conversation, this difficult text. We try to make sense of it. And we deep dive into it to figure out what it means for us today and how we live out our life of faith with boldness. I hope and pray that this sermon touches your heart, invites you into a more loving relationship with God, and a deeper understanding of these stories of our faith and how we can learn them, remember them, and experience them in new ways. For now, let us turn to the opening prayer.
Let's pray. Loving God, we give you thanks that you have gathered us on this beautiful day. You have surrounded us with a cloud of witnesses and a cloud of Christians around the world that are also celebrating World Communion this day, that as we break bread together around the world, we are reminded we are one body, united in you because of what you have done in this time, in these moments, send your spirit among us so that we might hear your voice crying out to us, calling us back to you, encouraging us and helping us to grow and transform so that as we leave this place, we may be a blessing world around us. Help us to understand your word this day so that whether through me or in spite of me, we may be transformed in your heart, in its hearing, and grow more in love with you and our neighbors. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen.
Our first reading today is from Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. And then chapter 13, verses 1 to 8. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall mark for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell the whole congregation of Israel that on the 10th of this month they are to take a lamb for each family, a lamb for each household. If a household is too small for a whole lamb, it shall join its closest neighbor in obtaining one. The lamb shall be divided in proportion to the number of people who eat it. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a year old male. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of this month. Then the whole assembled congregation of Israel shall slaughter it at twilight. They shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the lamb that same night. They shall eat it roasted over the fire with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted over the fire with its head, legs, and inner organs. You shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until morning you shall burn. This is how you shall eat it: your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it hurriedly. It is the Passover of the Lord, for I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike down every firstborn in the land of Egypt, both human and human beings and animals. On all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague shall destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." Chapter 13, verses 1 to 8. The Lord said to Moses, "Consecrate to me all the firstborn, whatever is the first to open the womb among the Israelites, of human beings and animals, it is mine." Moses said to the people, "Remember this day on which you came out of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, because the Lord brought you out from there by the strength of hand. No leavened bread shall be eaten. Today, in the month of Abih, you are going out. when the Lord brings you into the land of Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, which he swore to your ancestors to give to you, a land flowing with milk and honey, you shall keep this observation in this month. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, and on the seventh day there shall be a festival to the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten for 7 days. No leavened bread shall be seen in your possession, and no leaven shall be seen among you in all your territory. You shall tell your child that on that day it is because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt. This is the word of the Lord.
We turn now to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, verses 14 to 20. You can follow along in the Pew Bible on page 86 of the New Testament, or follow along on the screens above. When the hour came, Jesus took his place at the table, and the apostles were with him. He said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." Then he took a loaf of bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And he did the same with the cup after supper, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant within my blood." A few weeks ago, there was a passage that we talked about that a few of us struggled with. I remember talking with a few of you after the service and saying, "I don't really remember hearing that part before, and I honestly don't know what to do with it." And that was the story of Abraham and God's covenant, where they took all of the animals and they split them in half and God walked down the middle of them. What are we supposed to do with that? In many ways, today's passage is similar, because there's so many things that are foreign to us. The sacrifice of a lamb, the painting of the doorpost and the beam above the doors. These things in our culture, in our world, are just grotesque. We would not do them now, so we don't understand it, and we don't understand what to do with this passage. Now, we know that our Jewish neighbors do not celebrate Passover in the same way as they did in this passage. Over a few thousand years have passed, and practices changed. Passover doesn't look like it did then, and it doesn't look like it did with Jesus. And so we're still faced with this reality of what to do with this passage. Why in the world would God require this sacrifice? Why would God cause the death of the firstborn of all of Egypt? Why do we celebrate this? Why do we remember it? And why did God need to do it? I think we ask this question because we would like God to transform the world with as minimal impact or negative impact as possible. We wish God would just snap his fingers and say, "Everything is fixed, the world is at peace, the empires that have ruled this world for so long are now out of the picture, and the new kingdom is here." But what we find in Scripture and what we find in the world and what we find through Jesus Christ is that the empires and powers of this world will fight and nail to cling on to the power that they have. They will fight tooth and nail and kill and cause destruction if it means that it gets to hold on to its power. And so when God is establishing a new empire, a new kingdom, a new way of living in this world, the response is this physical and cosmic battle between good and evil, between God's kingdom and the empires of this world. And as we know from any battle, there are casualties on both sides. There are injuries and casualties of those who are caught in the crossfire who are not on either side. So one way of looking at this story is that if God is establishing a new way of being in this world, a new way for his people to be in this world that is outside of slavery, that is outside of ownership from the Pharaoh, and this Pharaoh whose heart was hardened over and over again, who wavered back and forth saying, "Yes, I'll let the people go. Wait, never mind. Yes, I'll let them go. Wait, never mind."
Over and over again, the Pharaoh has shown that he is clinging to that power.
And it finally came to a head in this curse, in this plague, in which the firstborn of all of Pharaoh's households were taken.
When we look at it that way, it doesn't make God sound a whole lot better, but it does put things into context. It does put things in this understanding of this cosmic battle between what was and what will be. If there's been a theme over these last few weeks, it's that we've been caught in that time. If we expect God's kingdom to be established here and now in our lifetimes, or expect it to take root, we should be ready to experience some disheveling of the world. We should expect that this transition from what was and what will be to be easy or just happen.
It's going to take work, preparation, girding ourselves up in the Lord and moving forward.
That's going to cause discomfort. Jesus says that's going to cause breaking in relationships between friends and family.
But it's the cost of the kingdom.
It's the cost of the battle between the powers and principalities of this world that we as Christians reject and claim and profess to fight.
And the powers of God establishing a new way of being.
God has called his people in this passage from Exodus to prepare for their departure from Egypt, telling them to grab onto a lamb and hold on to it for 10 days. There is that time period between God, when God says this is going to happen and when it actually happens. And they've got to care for the lamb that they've gathered. They've got to prepare. They have to be ready. They have to wait. And there's a lot of meticulous understandings of what they need to do in this 10-day period to prepare and be ready
for the exodus that's going to come.
There are preparations to make. There are intricate details to be held. The story of this lamb, of having to buy it and then keep it in your household for 10 days is interesting to me. Because it's one thing to buy a lamb off the street that same day and sacrifice it the same night. You don't have to think about the lamb too much. This lamb has to be unblemished when they bought it, when they procured it. And they have to keep it unblemished for those 10 days, making sure it doesn't damage itself, making sure that nothing happens to it.
At least in our modern sensibilities, you might grow a little attached to it over those 10 days. After all, it's a lamb. And they grow attached to it. It becomes a part of the household for those 10 days. They care for it. They protect it. They guard it. And then they sacrifice it. This reminds us that when we make sacrifices to God, when we offer up to God what he has asked of us, it should cause some discomfort. It should cause some issues within us. This thing that we thought was ours, this thing that we protect and guide and then offer up to God, it should stir feelings up in us. That meticulous preparation that they had to take part of, it should make us think about what we are offering up to God and why. It's that point of living in that in-between time. It's not just about going through the motions. It's not just about doing what you've always done. It's about doing what needs to be done intentionally so that when it comes time to move, you are ready. When it's time to go, this passage, it sounds like you're preparing for Sunday dinner. In many ways, you've gotten the lamb, you've raised it, you've cooked it over a fire, you've gathered with your friends, your relatives. The scripture says, and I love the wording of this, if you have too little, go find somebody. If your household is not big enough to eat a lamb, go find a bigger one and gather with them so that you all will eat the full lamb. I love that because usually we think about it in the reverse. If you have enough lamb and you have more than enough, then go find somebody who doesn't have enough and bring them into your table. It's like, go get your lamb, go find somebody else to eat it with, and be ready.
So it sounds like this community meal, it sounds like this gathering of friends and neighbors. But when you get to the actual meal, what God says is, wear your sandals, hold your staff in your hand at the table. Be ready that as you are eating this meal at any point, be ready that it is time to get up and go. So this family meal describes how we are to live in this world, to be ready. Yes, take the time. Yes, gather with your neighbors. Gather with your families. Prepare for this meal. Prepare for to feast together. But always be ready for when you are called. I think that sometimes what happens with us is that we enjoy the part about gathering. We enjoy the part of the common meal. We enjoy the part of inviting our neighbors over. We enjoy the preparations. We enjoy the ritual. We enjoy all of that. But we don't think that God is quite going to call us. And so we forget the part about being ready. We forget the part about, hey, God could call you at any point to go somewhere else. And so we leave our staffs behind. We pack our sandals in the closet and go about our business, never expecting God to actually do what he said. And we miss out. Because if we're not expecting God to do what God says he's going to do, if we're not expecting that, if we don't think that's going to happen, if we're not listening for it because we're not prepared when God does call, we don't hear it. If God does call in that still small voice that we often hear God speaking in, if we're not actively listening for it, if we don't expect to hear it, then it is incredibly easy to ignore it and say we never heard it and God never called it. And so at some point, we have the ritual, we have the preparations, we come to church, we sing hymns, we gather and we praise God and we serve God in different ways, but we do so with our staffs in our hands and our sandals on our feet, saying, God, where are you going to call me? Where are you going to lead us? And we are ready to hear and we are ready to go. If we can reconnect those two things, if we can bring that back together, we will be stronger. We will be a more faithful people. We will be ready to see tremendous battles between the cosmic good and cosmic evil and see the kingdom grow where the hurting of this world are restored and reconciled to God. Where that sin we talked about in the garden just a few weeks ago that broke that relationship between people and each other, with people and God and creation, we will see God work in miraculous ways, restoring those broken relationships in your life, in our community, and around the world. God is calling us to be ready. God will call us to act. But are we listening? We jump forward in this story to the Gospel of Luke, where Jesus is celebrating the Passover meal with his disciples. And this is a reminder that this story of the Passover, this story that God has told his people to carry on and tell their children when they get into the promised land, the story is told and retold. And Jewish teaching around this is that it is not just a story to tell and to hear, but it should be told in such a way that it is relived by each person that hears it. That it's not just something that happened so long ago, but it's something that happened and is happening to those there at that meal. And so for us, one of the last things that we can do that can encourage us to be ready, that reminds us that God is active in this world, is to tell those stories of what God has already done. Not just as something that happened long ago, that God was great and powerful then and did amazing things, but do it in such a way that those who are here and now hear these stories of the past, the distant past and the recent past, and say, God is at work and God is at work here and now. Because if we don't have a sense that God is going to call us to act, and we don't have a sense that God has called us to act, then why in the world would we be ready? Why would we be actively listening? Why would we be prepared for the tumultuous transformation that the kingdom of God brings when it encounters the powers of this world? In Christ, we see this battle still carrying out. The firstborn of God is sacrificed on the cross. The powers of this world who will fight tooth and nail to hold on to that power and never lose it, including the power of death itself, sacrificed the firstborn of God, thinking it would win. But the power of the cross and the empty tomb and the resurrection is that that cosmic battle has finally been won. That cosmic battle between what the good and what is of God and God's kingdom and the battle against the powers of this world, Jesus definitively answered who was most powerful, who is going to win. And what we see now are still remnants of a battle that had been lost 2,000 years ago, but it is still waging. There are still signs and still places where this world thinks it will win over the kingdom of God. And we as Christians can be ready for that and say, God has won, God is winning, and God will win. And we need to be ready for when he calls us into that battle. With our staff in hand, our sandals on our feet, a meal that can be left at any point because the world needs us. We want to see God's power in this world. We want to see the kingdom taking root. If we want to see true reconciliation and transformation, then that is what we need to do, to prepare, to be ready, and to tell the stories. In this part of the service, we recognize that we are not alone. We are united not only with one another here in this congregation, but with Christians around the world, praying for one another, lifting one another up, sharing our faith and our joys and thanksgivings, as well as our needs and concerns for a broken world, encouraging one another's faith, encouraging one another's strength, and lifting one another up. Few moments. Loving God, we give you thanks for gathering us together as your people, for reminding us that we do not walk through this journey alone. We have been knit together with one another, walking side by side to encourage one another, to lift one another up, to share our stories of how you have been at work, and to give thanks to you, and to share with one another our needs and our concerns for ourselves and for others. We give you thanks for the signs of healing and hope that we have lifted up this day, for Dave and his shoulder surgery, that the surgery went well, but also that he still needs healing, for Andrea and her healing from pancreatitis. We do give you thanks for Sue's nephew, that he will have the liver transplant that his body desperately needs, but we also lift up the person who is giving it and their family, that they grieve that loss, that they may have comfort and peace even in the midst of tragedy. We lift up Kathy as she endeavors on her final shoulder surgery, or what we pray is her final shoulder surgery, and the healing and that needs to come with that, and the long journey of healing that will come from that. We have many people in our midst who have experienced healing in the last few months, and we give you thanks for that healing touch, for the doctors and nurses that have been a part of that healing journey, for our caregivers giving strength and caring for those who are hurting. We know that you are a God that is at work in our world and in the lives of those that we have prayed for. We lift up our church. We lift up those who are touched by our ministries, who face needs every day. We pray for those in our community that are hurting, that are desperate to hear your good news, that are desperate to see that the powers of this world that seem insurmountable are in fact conquered, that there is a new way of living, that there is a new kingdom taking root, kingdom based on your love and grace and the transformation and reconciliation that you enable. We pray for those in the communities that have been devastated by natural disasters and floodings, for homes and towns that have been wiped from the face of from the map, for the devastating loss that I can not even begin to imagine what it feels like. And we pray for those who seem to be in the direct path of the next storm as they recover from the last one. There's so much pain and suffering in our world, some of which seem outside of our control, some of which we seem to play a role in, some of which we remain silent in the face of. So help us to be your people,
Help us to be people of faith. Help us to be people of courage and conviction, to proclaim your good news, to live out your kingdom in our lives, and to invite others to experience it for themselves. Help us to respond with love and kindness, generosity wherever there is need. Help us to pray for the needs of this world, for all those people everywhere who face the threat of violence, under the threat of war, their persecution and judgment, and pain and suffering for who they are, where they were born, the color of their skin, their gender, or who they love. There's so much pain in this world, so much sickness, so much poverty, and we wonder how long, O God, until you respond. And sometimes we need to hear your voice saying the same to us. When the problems seem insurmountable, when there seems to be no way forward, when we want to throw up our hands and say, the world is done, there's nothing that can be done, let us remember you. Remember your Son, Jesus Christ. Remember what he did to enable reconciliation and your kingdom to take root. And let us follow in his footsteps wherever that may lead. With a staff in hand and sandals on our feet, let us be ready to be sent into the world, hearing your voice, listening intently, and telling the stories of where you have conquered all. We ask this all in the name of Christ, who calls us, who leads us, who died for us, who invites us into new life, who reminds us that if we have a faith the size of a mustard seed, it is enough to move mountains. So let us take the faith that we have and be ready to move mountains, because it is enough. And when our words fail, when our actions fail, when we are unsure of what to do or say or how to pray, let us pray as Christ taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power,
the glory forever. Amen.
Outside of our walls, there is a heavenly battle between the forces of God and the forces of evil and powers in this world, and there are a lot of people caught in the crossfire. You are entering into that world. May you be strengthened by God's Spirit to be ministers of goodness and justice and mercy and love, sharing God's news with everyone you meet, trusting in him so that you may worship both in the morning and when the day is done. Let us pray the prayer that we pray each week, guiding us to those who are hurting. Send to us all the people who feel unwanted and unloved in other places, and if they can't come to us, send us to them. May you go and trusting in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, may you be guided by God's presence, empowered by God's Spirit to share the good news in a world that's desperate to hear. May you go in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The end of this week's podcast, where we dove into this story from Exodus chapter 12 and Exodus chapter 13. We talk about this cosmic battle that has been won through Christ, but is still waging around us, catching other people up in the damage. We talked about how we can dive in. We talked about how we can participate in that. How we stand ready with our staffs in hand and our sandals on, waiting to be called by God and ready to move. We talked about how we need to stay attentive to what God might be saying so that we're ready to listen and ready to go. If this podcast has helped you in any way, if the message has touched your heart in any way, then I am grateful. Know that we are in prayer for you, our listeners, whether you can join us someday in the future in person or not. If you would like to support this podcast or support the church's ministry, or to learn more about us here in Berwyn, Pennsylvania, outside of Philadelphia, you can do so by visiting our website at berwynumc.org. Now we transition to an interview about this passage and about this sermon, hoping it helps you dive deeper into what it was about and how you can apply it. May God bless you, and see you next week.
Welcome, Deep Divers. Have you ever wondered, like, what it would actually feel like to be on the verge of some huge life change, you know, facing the unknown and all that? Well, today's deep dive, it's going to drop us right into that feeling. We're looking at a text, yeah, it talks about ancient rituals and all that, but honestly, it's got some seriously relevant stuff to say about how we deal with change today.
Oh, absolutely. This passage, it uses this really vivid imagery of the Jewish festival of Passover, and it really gets at this tension we all feel, you know, between holding on to what's familiar and stepping into something totally new. Powerful stuff.
Okay, so paint the picture for us. Let's say you're living in ancient Egypt, you're enslaved, right? And then suddenly there's this talk of, like, a God who's on your side promising freedom. But, and maybe this is where it gets real for us even now, there's a catch.
Totally. The whole Passover story, it's all about this kind of dynamic. It wasn't just like, oh, let's pack up and skip out of Egypt. It involved sacrifice, risk, a whole lot of uncertainty, really. And that's where these rituals come in, you know, like sacrificing lambs and marking doorposts with blood. I mean, yeah, it might seem intense to us now, but back then, those rituals were powerful. They were reminders of what was at stake when you choose a new path.
Right, because, I mean, it's one thing to, like, agree with the idea of freedom, right? But to actually do it, to walk away from what you know, even if it's, you know, oppressive,
yeah,
that takes guts.
Absolutely. And that's actually where this whole cosmic battle idea comes in. You see, the Pharaoh, he's refusing to let the Israelites go, right? So he represents all those forces, the ones inside us and the ones out there in the world that fight against change, the ones clinging to power, even when it's harmful. So you have this clash, this struggle between the old way and the new way.
Yeah.
And the text, it really does present it as this battle with real consequences, even when, you know, there's a divine plan happening.
Okay, see, this is where it gets interesting to me. The passage doesn't shy away from the fact that this whole cosmic battle thing, it's not just some, like, abstract idea. It talks about casualties on both sides, which, I don't know, it's kind of jarring. Especially when you're talking about a divine plan, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Help me square that.
Oh, I know what you mean. And honestly, that's what makes this text so challenging, but also so relevant. Even now, it acknowledges that even when amazing things are happening, even when we're trying to do what's right, what's good, there can still be loss. It's not always a clean break. You know, there are ripples, consequences.
Wow. Yeah, I never thought of it that way. It's like you're making this choice, this huge decision to step into this new reality, this freedom you've been promised, but it doesn't mean it's going to be easy. Doesn't mean it won't be painful. There's a cost for what you leave behind and for the uncertainty of what's ahead.
Exactly. And, you know, that's a truth that's just as real for us today as it was back then. Change is hard. Growth, it can be messy. But, and this is important, there's this, like, this incredible sense of hope woving through it all, this promise that even when things are rough, we're not alone, and that ultimately something bigger is at work.
So, okay, we've got this ancient story, right, with all this, like, intensity and sacrifice and everything, but how does it connect to us now? It's not like we're, like, fleeing Egypt anytime soon, right?
And that's where it gets really cool, honestly. See, this passage, it doesn't just tell us some old story. It wants us to experience it. Like, it's happening right now, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It describes this Passover meal. It's all about connecting with that raw emotion, that urgency, that uncertainty, the stuff those Israelites must have felt.
Okay, so instead of just reading about it, it's like we're supposed to put ourselves in their shoes.
Or
sandals, I guess, right?
Exactly. And one of the biggest things about this whole experience, this immersive thing, is the lamb. Mm-hmm. We talked about sacrifice earlier, but this is different. This is deeper. So the passage describes this 10-day period where the Israelites, they'd pick a lamb, they'd care for it, almost like form a bond with it, and then
they have to make that decision.
Yeah.
To let it go.
Yeah.
To offer it up for something bigger.
Yeah, and that, I think that's where the real lesson about sacrifice is, you know? It's easy to talk about giving stuff up, but this story, it makes you feel it. It reminds us that, like, aligning ourselves with God, with change, it means letting go. Letting go of something precious, something we've poured our hearts into, you know?
And it's not even just about the letting go, is it? It's what happens next. Because the passage talks about this Passover meal, this feast, and it's almost like frantic. Sandals on, staff in hand, like ready to run out the door any second. Not exactly a relaxing dinner party, right? What's the message there?
You're really picking up on something important because there is this tension in the story, this real sense of urgency. So on the one hand, you've got community, coming together to share a meal, remember, support each other. But at the same time, there's this like undercurrent, you know, this reminder that God can call on us at any moment and we got to be ready to move, even if it messes up our plans, even if it takes us out of our comfort zones.
So we're celebrating, but we're also on edge a little, present in the moment, but also like leaning into the unknown. That's a powerful image.
It really is. And, yeah. And this is where the story, it takes another turn because it jumps ahead in time. And now we see Jesus, he's sharing a Passover meal with his disciples. It's like the ancient story. It's being woven into the present, but with a whole other layer of meaning.
And that's where this whole Jesus is the firstborn of God thing comes in, right?
Sure.
I'll be honest, that part always kind of threw me.
It's powerful, though. It really is. And it goes back to everything we've been talking about, this cosmic battle. See, Jesus, as the firstborn of God, he chose to be sacrificed. The ultimate act of love, of surrender for us, for humanity. It's like the Passover story. It's playing out on this huge cosmic scale now with even higher stakes.
So even though, like, the ultimate victory over death, over oppression, it's declared through Jesus, we're still living in the in-between time, still dealing with that tension, that old versus new thing, still waiting for that victory to really, truly play out.
You got it.
Yeah.
It's like we're all at that Passover meal, you know, sandals on, staff in hand,
right,
celebrating the victories we've had, yeah. But also knowing that the journey's not over. There's still work to do, sacrifices to make, and a call to action to answer.
Okay, so we're at this, like, metaphorical Passover meal, sandals on, staff in hand, ready to move. But what does that even look like for us now? Are we supposed to like start sacrificing animals and staring at our front doors waiting for a sign or something?
Yeah. Right. That's the question, isn't it? But see, that's the thing about this passage. It's not really giving us a to-do list. It's more about like a way of being. It's about really listening, being aware of those little nudges, you know, those times when you feel that pull to do something more, something bigger than yourself.
So less about like looking for a burning bush, more about paying attention to those times when we feel that tug in our hearts to, I don't know, to make a difference somehow.
Yes, exactly. Think about those Israelites getting that lamb ready day after day. It wasn't just going through the motions. It was a time to think about what that sacrifice meant, to really ask themselves, what are we giving up here? And ultimately to get their hearts in line with what they believed was right. So for us, being ready, it's not about just sitting around waiting for instructions. It's about letting those quiet moments, those everyday choices shape us, make us more, I don't know, tuned in to where we're being led.
And those moments, those being led moments, they might not be big dramatic things,
it's
right?
Okay.
Could be reaching out to someone who's struggling, speaking up when you see something wrong, or even just like really showing up for the people in your life.
Totally. Because honestly, we are part of this cosmic battle, this ongoing thing. And it's not like we're watching from the sidelines. We're in it. And like with any good story, you know, the part we play, it might change depending on where we are, right? The important thing is to stay aware, to be ready to answer that call, however it comes.
Like we each have a piece of this giant puzzle and we're trying to figure out where our piece goes. And yeah, maybe it's messy. Maybe we don't always know what we're doing, but there's something kind of amazing about that, don't you think?
Oh, for sure. This whole passage, it reminds us that saying yes to that call to change, it's not always easy. It can be really uncomfortable, but it's in those moments when we push past what's familiar, when we let go, that's often when we find out who we really are, what we're really here for. It's an adventure. I really believe that.
This whole deep dive has been incredible, honestly. We started with these ancient rituals and ended up, I don't know, at the heart of what it means to be human, I guess. Dealing with change, finding meaning when things feel uncertain. It's a lot, in the best way possible.
I couldn't agree more. It always amazes me how these old texts, they still speak to us, you know? Yeah. Help us navigate this crazy thing we call life, call faith.
And for all you deep divers out there listening, here's something to think about. What lambs are you being asked to let go of in your own life? Where do you feel that pull, that call to step into something new, something more? Sit with those questions for a bit. Who knows what you might find waiting on the other side? Until next time, keep diving.